We took a poll in the first service asking the question, how many of us have actually served in a office of government, commissioner or tax collector? We'll head also to voting booth, poll watcher, class president, you know, homeroom representative. How many have served in that capacity at one time or another in your life? Raise your hand. Okay. A pretty good bunch. We had five in the first service and more activists in the second service. That's good. The Lord calling you to serve in that way. That is a very challenging and difficult call in your life, to serve other people and to serve the Lord while being a government official. And one of the great things we have as an opportunity Tuesday and throughout the year is to say Jesus is Lord by how we follow him every day and also by how we vote. The majority of countries in the world really don't have that opportunity, but you and I do. And so we want to be able to say, with some application from the Bible, Jesus is Lord of the voting booth as much as he is of the sanctuary. Okay, same heart you have in the sanctuary, seeking God, praising him, wanting to follow him, you and I have as a Christian citizen and as you go to the voting booth. You want to be consistent in there. Same, Jesus is Lord in the marketplace as he is in the prayer closet. Jesus is Lord of my family as he is of my nation. Those things. Two good examples outside of Scripture that have brought together Christian citizenship and participating in government following Jesus is Charles Colson, who served in government, a very committed Christian now, and also Abraham Kuyper, who served in the Netherlands back in the early 20th century. If you could read things that those guys have written, you'll get a good sense on how to be a faithful Christian citizen and a merciful prophet at the same time. Abraham Kuyper had a famous quote in which he said this: "There's not one inch in this universe about which Jesus does not say, 'This belongs to me.'" Okay? He puts his finger on our soul. He puts his finger on, you know, our daily life, our stewardship, whether we live in Iran or China or the United States. He says, "This belongs to me," because Jesus is Lord. And we're waking up to that fact as we follow him. So this morning, I ask you a question that comes really out of the things that Scripture says about following God in government and you being a Christian. If you've received Christ into your life, he wants to be Lord of who you are. You know, be at peace with him if you would. That he wants that more than anything. He wants to straighten our heart out before he's going to straighten out the laws of the land. Okay? I mean, that's his focus. And so I ask the question, as a Christian citizen, are you a merciful prophet? Okay, someone who looks and says, "I love the country and I speak from God's point of view in the Scriptures, and I do it in a merciful way." Do you see that as a part of your calling? It is a part of your calling if God has called you to be a citizen in this land at this point in history. And so as we look at this, I want to say right from the start, this is an area in my life where I have a lot of struggle and a lot of sin through neglect. Through neglect. It's not something I have a natural interest in. Oh, I wonder, you know, what's going on in the government lately. When I go to the voting booth or the voting poll place, a lot of times, like you, I don't know candidate A from candidate B and what they're up to. And some of their helpers of candidate A offers me a Tootsie Roll and candidate B offers me a pen. I'm voting for the pen guy. Okay? I got to get deeper than that in my discipleship with the Lord. The Emory Board guy never got my vote. Know anybody with that line of persuasion? I don't show respect for government leaders like God says I should. Okay? He wants us to do that. I sinfully look at government sometimes as a necessary evil. Instead, of a gift from God being established by him, which it is. Okay, if you think government is a pain in the neck to you, you ought to go to some countries where there's hardly any government, like Somalia. There's total chaos. No speed limit. No rule in who's in charge of what. And whoever has the biggest gun on the biggest block, they're in charge. That's what we would have without the gift of government saying, these are the guidelines, a gift from God to give us some kind of civility. I don't pray for government leaders like God says to do. Great passage in 1 Timothy. Paul says, I want requests and thanksgiving and prayers be made for those in authority. So not only am I to pray for people, I have to thank the Lord for them. Okay, and that's regardless of who happens to be in office. For Paul and Timothy, it was Nero, who was a very, very bad, evil leader. So you can check your own heart and say, am I praying for President Obama as much as I've prayed for President Bush or President Clinton or whoever your guy was, you know, that was your favorite? Are you praying for the person in office now as much? God's word says, do that. Do that. That's part of your calling. That's how you'll be an effective Christian citizen. So I have a lot of repenting to do in this area where Jesus is Lord, and I'd like to pull you into the repentance boat with me. And I think it really will change heart, behavior, and practice in terms of the responsibility God has given us in a free nation. So first, a truth I want us to get from the Bible is this, that God is sovereign over government and elections. God is sovereign over government and elections. And those who we elect, in a very real sense, God elects. And I don't have to understand that. I don't even have to like that. But God has a plan for those who serve. And we need to say, hey, that's God's guy or gal for the hour and for his good purpose. If you and I don't have that perspective, we will get selfish and sinful in the way we see government and the way we see Jesus as Lord in relation to government. Unless we say God is sovereign, then we're going to get real self-interested. Daniel is a great example of having that perspective. His king was Nebuchadnezzar for a while. He had King Darius who threw him in the lion's den. So he went from bad to worse. But Nebuchadnezzar, about when he was serving, Daniel said, God sets up kings and deposes them. In other words, God, he's the one that puts people in office and moves them out of office in his timing. Nebuchadnezzar was a really bad king. In one instance, he had a bad dream. It really disturbed him. So he got all his advisors, and he said, I had a dream, and I want you to tell me what I dreamt, and I want you to tell me what it means, or I'm going to kill you. Okay? Now, you thought you had some bad leaders that you've experienced, but Governor Rendell, he knocks on your door, I had a bad dream. I want you to tell me what I dreamt and what it means, or you're gone, you know, by sundown. And Daniel, you know, he has respect for Nebuchadnezzar. He says, give me time to seek God about this. And God gives him the answer to this problem. So that's a good model for us. When we see problems in government or our leaders have problems, where do we go? Hey, go to the Lord. I'm going to pray about this. And prayer is powerful. And he addressed Nebuchadnezzar in the midst of all this. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, the God of heaven has given you dominion and power. He showed respect at that point. And we just put in the candidate that, you know, you'll vote for or who is in there now. Governor Rendell, God has given you dominion and power over the whole state of Pennsylvania. That's a big job. President Obama, God has given you dominion and power. Or whoever it is. You say that out of respect and honor to God. Remember, if you don't get God's heart and mind on things, You will get sinful and selfish in following the Lord in the form of government. Job saw God as sovereign also over elections. He said, the Lord makes nations great, and the Lord deprives leaders and sends them wandering. So sometimes God says, I'm going to show mercy and help you by giving you a good leader. And sometimes I'm just going to let your leader wander around because you guys don't want to follow me. That often happened in the Old Testament, and it can happen in us also. Someone said, poor leadership is God's curse on a prayerless people. Okay, so we want to say, Lord, improve the wisdom of those who lead us. Best way to get that done? You start praying. Okay. You pray. And you'll be walking in the will of God and enjoying His sovereignty. Romans 13 sets up government leaders as God's servants. Calls those in office that three times. That's how you want to think of them. Here they are, God's servants. It's not just the Tootsie Roll guy and the pen guy. God's servants. And to walk in that truth. The second calling in our lives that we want to embrace is to be a merciful prophet to our nation. And it's easy to be merciful to those you love. If you love the nation and if you love your leaders, you will be merciful to them. Just picture the person in office as your relative. Okay, that's my spouse or that's my brother, physically speaking. And then you'd be more likely to be merciful to them. Not to cut them down. You know, not to wish them ill. Not to think they're stupid and you're wise. That's not God's way. If you were wise, He'd put you in their seat. Okay? So you know what that means. If you think they're foolish, what are you saying about yourself? You have even less wisdom. So that's being a merciful prophet. How many times, because you could be merciful because you've received mercy. How many times have you prayed, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner? One of the safest things to pray for your heart. God says, if you pray that way through this week or maybe in this worship service, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God says, you'll go home at peace with God. And you can start praying that for other people, for people in leadership. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on this leader, a sinner. You'll remember his feet are clay. If I can quote somebody who happens to be here today and apply it to government. If those who are in government, if they get it right 51% of the time, they're doing pretty good. They have feet of clay. If they get it right 75% of the time, they're doing real good. And if they get it right 90% of the time, or claim to, run away from them because they're full of baloney. Okay? Now, you might apply that to your own walk with the Lord. If you get it right 51% of the time, hey, at least you're growing, right? You're on the upswing. 75% of the time, you're following Jesus well. There, you're doing real good. If you claim you follow Him 90% of the time, you know, you're spiritually full of baloney. You just turn to Him and ask for His help. But have mercy as you speak and do the part of a prophet. And a prophet has a tough job, but it's a good job, a job out of love. Every parent who's ever a parent had to be a prophet, or if you work with young people in any way. A prophet says this, you turn to God and turn away from sin. That's what a prophet says. You turn to God and turn away from sin. That's part of our responsibility as believers in Christ. To neglect that responsibility, as I often have, is to not walk with Jesus. It's part of our responsibility. Turn from sin, turn to God. God did that through John the Baptist. The leader was out of bounds in what they were doing. John the Baptist says, you're doing wrong. And the leader really respected John the Baptist. It might have changed, but the guy's family got involved. And so John the Baptist, he dies. And being a prophet will cost you. You won't win the popularity contest of that you're in. You're in some popularity contest in your own mind. But John the Baptist was a faithful prophet. Elijah and the 17 prophets mentioned in the Bible. And God says through Ezekiel, here's what I want you to do. Warn the people about sin. And perhaps they'll turn to me. You're like a watchman on the wall. A watchman was guarding the city, looking around. Here comes a storm. Everybody get ready. Here comes a storm. It's going to be difficult. Good watchman. Here comes the enemy. The enemy's going to hurt us unless we go against the enemy. Good job, watchman. Be that way. And our response to a watchman, hopefully, is sins. Our own sins and offenses weigh us down, and we are wasting away. One of the things the prophets did in the Old Testament, which is real hard for us to do, is they identified with the problem that was there. They didn't stand up on a mountain and say, hey, see all those pagans down there? They are messed up. Or do you see God's people over here? They are messed up. The prophets walked right next to the people and said, hey, guess what? We're messed up and we need God's help. So they identified with the people to whom they were speaking with love, much like you would do to a child in your own family that you wanted to see have a turnaround in their life. You wouldn't push them away. You'd draw them to yourself. And so to be a merciful prophet, to say, this is sin, turn to God in reference to this. Jonah did that. Daniel did that. I'll mention some things I think God's people, often drop the ball on because we get clumsy or we get lazy or whatever the case is. I mentioned before that God's constantly knocking on the door of my heart and my hard head about. He says, stand for life in terms of little ones. That is, support life that is about to be born. Be pro-life because God affirms that in His Word. And so to say, turn with God's mercy, turn from sin, turn to God. You have all these good groups helping moms in trouble. That's a powerful witness. But to be committed to that in our hearts, to be committed to that and ask leaders to do that. And often when you ask it with mercy and directness, you get a hearing. The best letter I ever got back from a candidate, I wrote about the abortion thing, problem. The best return letter I ever got was Arlen Specter. And you don't know where he is. He's all over the place. He is not pro-life. But he wrote back a letter, very thoughtful. And I knew he heard me, maybe one of his staffers heard me. But if you address, a gentle word can break a bone in terms of influencing government. The problem of greed. Our economy, when you get right down to it, is messed up because of greed. That's the bottom line thing. You can point to this, that, the other, the other. That was the bottom line problem in how we got avalanched with a bad economy. And so we say, with God's help. No, I want to, with His help, turn from sin, turn to God. Not greed, but stewardship and generosity. And I want that for the country. The country has great respect in some parts of the world because we tend to be a generous country, not greedy. Turn from sin, turn to God. Care for the poor. I can't just shrug my shoulders and say, well, if they're poor, that's their problem. God says, care for the poor. Turn from sin, turn to God. A big one that you pretty much hear every week. Same-sex marriage versus biblical marriage. You should have a plan on what you say and who you vote for. You say, well, you know what? I follow Jesus, and He was for biblical marriage between man and woman. So that's why I am for that and not for the other. And just put the spotlight on the Lord where it belongs. You know, they say, well, let's pick on that group for a while because they need picked on. They get too loud or something. without following the Lord's way, you will get sinful and selfish in your way you follow the Lord. To work for righteous laws. It was followers of Jesus who really led the abolition of slavery. It was pretty much 95% of the leadership was Christians. It was tremendous. So God can work. And while we do that, realize that even righteous laws cannot change hearts because they are very limited. Charles Colson said, many Christians believe political structures can cure ills, but government by its nature is limited. Only God can change your heart. One of his friends said, we can win all the battles in the voting booth and lose the hearts of the people towards the Lord. That's a good test case, you know, for you as an individual or a group of believers. Are you doing anything besides trying to win at the voting booth? Are you trying to win the hearts of the people toward the Lord? That's your focus. And Jeremiah said, you even pray for the success of a pagan nation. If a nation is bad, you pray for it to be blessed, because if it's blessed, you'll be blessed. Okay? That's God's heart, again, for the nation. If America has many sins, and we do, we say, God bless America, land that I love. Not so we could sin, but we could turn to him. And even if we voted in Billy Graham as president, our trust would still be in the Lord, because he would make good laws, but who would change a heart? Only God. Only Jesus. And Jesus is the standard for being a citizen and a merciful prophet. Here's a toughie, but you apply it to your life how the Holy Spirit wants you to. How many times did Jesus criticize Caesar in the Gospels? I looked and couldn't find any. No, Matthew, he was a tax collector. What's he doing in there? Luke, yeah, Zacchaeus, what's tax collector? What's he doing in there? Simon the Zealot, he's a rebel. What's he doing in there? And Jesus spends no time criticizing Caesar in 3 years of ministry. See, he says, I'm going for the hearts. Because if I go for the hearts in time, and it did happen, people will get away from trusting in government, and they will instead turn to God. Hearts of the people first, righteous laws second. For some of us, if we thanked the Lord and shared the gospel as much as we criticized the government, we would have a tremendous testimony. And some of us could apply that to our language throughout the week. If we, you know, praise the Lord and share the gospel as much as we dish out garbage on our Christian brother and sister, we would be a tremendous shining light for the Lord. God can make that change. He's a wonderful Savior. And when you think of your discipleship, has Caesar ever stopped you from following the Lord? Caesar is symbolizing government. Communist China has terrible laws, terrible leaders. And Christians in China follow Jesus, in most cases better than we do, because it's their hearts that really drive the engine of discipleship. Caesar will not stop you from following Jesus. Only you will stop you from following Jesus. Because Jesus is above Caesar, that is the government. Remember, about a billion people say Jesus is Lord, and Caesar, now they named the pizza shop after him. Okay? So you see what man's power gets you? Get you a pizza. So if you and I can be merciful prophets, walk in the shoes of Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Jonah didn't want to do it, Daniel, and most importantly, Jesus. Jesus can change your heart. And the government of your own soul, who do you think is going to change that? Is it going to be you and your vote? Is it going to be the right party in power? And then I'll have a good attitude. I'll be a thankful citizen then. Or will it be because you surrendered to Christ and said, Jesus is Lord? And whatever government I have, I'm going to be the most thankful, best citizen I can be to the honor of Christ. He'll give you the forgiveness, the future, the heaven you're looking for. Be at peace with him. Walk after him in that difficult area, which we all face this week, every day, and especially Tuesday. Might we pray together as his people? Lord, thank you for your word that gives us direction in whatever endeavor we're trying to worship and serve you. And Lord, I know for me it's a lot easier to get right with you in the devotional closet than it is in the voting booth. I get totally lost sometimes without your guidance and without putting my mind to serve you in things of government responsibility. I thank you for those who serve you in that way. That's a special gift. And they're God's servants. Might we see them that way? Might we follow you as the merciful prophets you would call us to be? And thank you for what you will accomplish through a repentant, faithful church, because you've been faithful to the church in all kind of governments and through all kind of blessings and trials with leaders. Bless each one here, Father. Give peace with you and confidence in their step as they go. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.